Well, you may be seated. See, God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the call of God is strong in us and on us. We're called to fellowship. We're called to liberty. We're called to take our place in God's grace, in the local church, and in the earth, and in the world. We are called to live in the love of God. And this morning I want to talk to you about how that we are called to become like Him. We are called not to be conformed to this world, but we are called to be conformed to the image of His Son. In the book of Romans, in chapter 8, and notice with me in verse 28 and 29, it says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew us, His people, in advance and chose us to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn with many brothers and with many sisters." Jesus said very clearly in the book of Matthew that it is enough for the disciple to be as his master and the servant to be as his Lord. It is available for you and I to become more like Him every day. It's a process. You know, the Bible talks about running a race. And this Christian walk and this Christian race is not a 50-yard dash, is it? It's a marathon. And I want to talk to you about this marathon to maturity. Part of our vision is not only to reach the lost, to heal the hurting, but it is also to mature the believer. Amen. So you'll notice in pastoral messages like this, this will encourage us all to grow. It's time to grow up and to be like Him. Amen. We should no longer be babies in a nursery with our rattle. But we should be growing, we should be pressing, and we should be stretching toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that prize is to be like Jesus. Amen. And so to run this marathon of maturity, one thing we need to do is we must simplify our lives. Simplify our lives. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, and in verse 1, and we're going to bring that up there because we don't have the Living Bible. We have it on a PowerPoint. But I want you to notice, and let's keep this up here for a moment. It says, "Since we have such a huge crowd of men in faith watching us from the grandstands." Hallelujah. You got relatives watching you from the grandstands. Amen. My spiritual father, Kenneth E. Hagin, is watching us from the grandstands. He says, "Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us." So we see in this verse that we are to get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the clutter in our minds, in our schedules, in those relationships that God has not ordained. Get rid of any and every piece of unnecessary luggage. That means to eliminate the diversions that come. Eliminate the distractions of this age, the detours and the time wasters that we've all yielded to. We do not run this marathon to maturity in a parka. You know what a parka is? I knew what a parka was. I got wrapped tightly in parka clothes when I would go to Mass at 6 a.m. with my brother because he was an altar boy. I never did make it to be an altar boy nor a patrol boy. But I did love my brother and I liked to walk with him through blizzard conditions. And we were wrapped real tight. In a parka. You can't run this race that God has got for you with a bunch of unnecessary weights. Amen. And I heard the choir say, amen, pastor, good preaching, amen. And notice the phrase in this verse. Let us run with patience the particular race. Your mom can't run it. Your dad can't run it. Your boyfriend can't run it. And by the way, you can't run anyone else's race either. God has a particular race that He wants you to run. So number one, let go of the weights. Lay aside the sin. If there's sin in our life, thank God for the blood. Let me try that again. I said, thank God for the blood. That's the crowd I'm looking for. Amen. The blood of Jesus. But then another thing that we need to lay aside is other people's expectations. So I'm asking this morning, what's holding you back from running your race? What do you need to drop? Are you too busy? So step two in this verse is found at the end. And let us run with patience. Everyone say patience. The particular race that is set before us. So in running this marathon to maturity, we need then not to be impatient or get in a hurry. God's got a lifetime plan for you. It's going to take our entire lives to run this race. And we cannot run it quickly. We can't just sprint through life. You know, a long distance runner was quoted as saying this: if I start the race and I run too fast, I get winded. And I run out of steam before the race ends. But champions, they know how to run and they know how to pace themselves in this race. What are you saying today, Pastor Mark? I'm saying we need to have a long distance runner's mindset. The Amplified Version says of this, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course, the particular race of the race that is set before us. I see some of you getting your running shoes on. I see a congregation stripping down. Amen. Letting go of the weights. Now most of us, I mean if you're like me, most of us are not big fans of patient endurance. Why? Because we live in a culture that says, hey, you can have it all. And you can have it all now. Think about all the instant things that are out there. There's instant popcorn. There's instant coffee. Got to get a quick breakfast? Well, let's get an instant Pop-Tart. Instant oatmeal. Then if you have a computer at home and you click on the mouse and the website doesn't come up immediately, you go into, I'm calling Comcast. I'm calling AT&T. I mean, what is up with that? You see, we cannot get instant maturity. There is no miracle, wonder, spiritual maturity pill that you can take. I mean, that'd be great. It'd be great if you... Whew, I'd get canisters full of them. Open your mouth. Take these two. And you're instantly going to become kind, gentle, and loving. And be a tither.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I'd not only have canisters in the foyer, but I'd have them at the altar. By the way, those aren't available. We're working on the design. We've got patent pending. But there's not a lot of hope for that, is there? Why is that? Because spiritual maturity is a process. You know, when God wanted to make a mushroom, it took 6 hours. But when he wanted to make an oak tree, it took 60 years. I know you don't want to be a mushroom. You want to be an oak tree, right? Look it over here in Isaiah chapter 61 and notice with me in verse 3. I want you to notice it says, to give them an ornament or garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes. You know, God takes the ashes of our lives and turns us into a beautiful new creation. The oil of joy instead of what? Mourning. The oil of joy instead of mourning. The garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit. If you want to succeed in life, put on the garment of praise. Somebody says, well, I put it on right when I walked into the foyer. No, you ought to have the garment of praise on 24/7.
Keep it on. Amen. Every day.
And notice that they may be called oaks. Oaks of righteousness. Here's what we are. Lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished, and upright. Full of justice and in right standing with God. Say with me, I am the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Get this word in you. Let this word be planted in you. Get yourself in church regularly. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, those are the ones that are going to bring forth fruit. They're going to be full of sap. Amen? They're going to be strong in the last days. Say with me, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. So we see then that we are oaks of righteousness. So we spell maturity this way. T-I-M-E. That's why we encourage people to read their Bible. That's why we encourage people to pray, not only individually, but corporately. This is why we encourage people to get into a small group like we have on Wednesday night.
Yes, amen.
What on earth am I here for? What a tremendous, tremendous impartation for our church right now. It's so good. This is why we encourage people to allow the Holy Spirit and give Him access into their lives and let Him speak to us and to help us grow. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So the third key then to running the race that God has for us is we need to spend time focusing on Jesus every day. Focusing on Jesus every day. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 12, and I want you to pick this up in the King James Version. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I like the Amplified. It says, looking away from anything and everything that would distract unto Jesus. Oh, when I look to Him, I am changed. When I set my affection on Him,
Yes, amen.
The joy of the Lord rises up on the inside.
Hallelujah.
Looking unto Jesus. Fix your attention on Him. Hallelujah. He is your Savior.
Amen.
He is your healer.
Amen.
He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your abundant compensation. He is your peace. Looking away from all that would distract to Jesus. One translation says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. You see, it's true. We cannot become like Jesus without spending time with Jesus. Brenda and I have been married 41 years. We'll be married 42 years in July 22nd. To God be the glory. But you know what? We're getting more like each other every day. I mean, you would have been proud of me this morning. I actually made her breakfast. Poached eggs.
He did good.
Thank you very much. No, but it's true. You spend time with the person, you become like them. That's why we need to be very mindful of who we're spending our time with. That's not only in friendships, but that's also in the entertainment realm. You know, if we spend a lot of time being entertained by the world, well, it stands to reason we'll become like the world. Right? If we spend time just feeding on the news of the world, we'll become worldly minded where it comes to current affairs. Right? See, there's a couple mindsets that we can adopt. We can adopt the mindset of this age and have a me first mindset, or we can adopt the mindset of the Word and have a kingdom mindset and have theology that is pan theology. I know that everything's going to pan out. Amen. You see, here's the truth. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, what is it?
Life.
It brings life and it brings peace. So we need to be mindful of what we are keeping our mind on.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
That's right.
We need to be mindful of what we're thinking on. Because eventually, if you think on something long enough, you'll begin to talk it. And as you think on it, and as you talk it, and as you speak it, it very well could come to pass. Because Jesus himself said, you can have what you say.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. So here's what we need to do, all of us. Find a place where you can fix your eyes and your attention on him. That's what Jesus did.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says that Jesus went out as usual to the Mount Olives to go and pray. The more time we spend on him, the more we will be changed by him. Anybody open to change?
Yes.
Anybody open to transformation?
Yes.
Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's Jesus and his word. We are changed into the same image. We're being conformed into that image. Now notice with me, from glory to glory. Everyone say, from glory,
glory.
To glory. That's what Pastor Brenda's going to teach on tonight. She's going to teach and preach on glory. Amen. I'm going to be here. Why? Because I want to be changed. One translation says that we are being changed from one degree of glory to the next. Does God have degrees of glory? Does he? Does he have degrees of transformation? To where that every day we become more like him. Every day we look just like him. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
So say with me, I'm going.
I'm going from glory to glory.
By the Spirit of the Living God. Now I want you to bring this up on the screen now, if you would. It says, and all of us have had the veil removed. Now, Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments. And how long was he up there for?
40 days.
And they had to put a veil over his face. But when Moses came back, Moses was glowing.
Yeah, he was.
Because of the glory
that
he was experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Christ Jesus, that veil has been removed.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
We don't have to go to the mountain.
No.
We just go to the rock that's higher than us.
Thank you, Lord.
All of us have had the veil removed. Now notice, so that we can be mirrors. That do what? That brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him.
Hallelujah. Amen.
In our attitudes, in the way we live, we become more and more like Him. And then what do? As mirrors, we reflect His glory. Even more and more.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I tell you, it's happening, folks.
It's happening.
It's happening everywhere I go lately.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm able to talk to people. Minister to people. It's happening.
Thank you, Lord.
And it can happen with you. And it is happening with you.
Amen.
Reflecting His glory. Come on, somebody.
More and more.
Now notice with me this next little PowerPoint. Behold. What does this mean? This means get in proximity.
Yeah,
draw near to God and He will
draw near to you.
Come close to God and He will
you.
Behold. Get in proximity. What we behold, we become. And in becoming, we experience change and transformation. And as a result, we are mirrors that reflect and shine with His glory.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Paul said that I may know Him and the wonders of His person and the power of His resurrection. I want to encourage you today. The more you know Him, the more like Him you will be. The more behold you behold Him, the more you will become just like Him.
Yes.
Now the fourth step in this marathon to maturity is we need to gather a team to run with us. It's your race. But how many of you know we need some folks to run with us? There's an old African proverb that says this: to run fast, run by yourself. But to run far, run with other people. You don't need 100 people running with you. You don't need 25 people running for you. But how many of you know all of us need 3 or 4 good faith buddies that can run with us? Come on. How many of you know we need somebody when we trip and when we fall that is there to exhort us to get back on our feet? Not to condemn us, but to help us and to lift us. We need running partners. You know, they say if you're going to do a workout plan, it's always good to have a workout partner. Because the likelihood of you not going and showing up is less when you are committed to someone else. And look at Hebrews chapter 10. That went over big. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. In just a few minutes, we're going to have communion. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let's read it together. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The next verse. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, as you see, all the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. We're encouraging one another today. We're spurring one another on to good works. Hallelujah. And then lastly, when we're running the race of life and we're becoming more like Him, Remember this, that God is cheering you on at every stage. I'm going to say that again. God is cheering you on at every stage. It's not, oh, you know, when I arrive at maturity, then God's going to like me. He likes you right where you're at. He has committed not to leave you right where you're at.
That's right.
We are to come to Him as we are, but as we come to Him as we are, He changes us. He makes us new creations. He makes us His masterpiece. He makes us His heirs, His joint heirs. He breathes His purpose into our lives. It's not, oh, I got to become spiritually mature so that God will give me the time of day. He's already given you the time of day by giving you His Son. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You know, nobody shames a baby for not knowing how to read. You don't say, "You dumb, dumb baby." You know, my grandkids draw me a picture and they bring it to me. I say, "Perfect." I'm not saying it's a Picasso now. I'm saying it's perfect for their stage of development.
Yeah, that's right.
And nobody shames a 10-year-old for not knowing how to drive. Now, they may have driven when you were 10 years old in different parts of the country, but not where I came from. You don't shame a 10-year-old for not being able to balance a checkbook? No. God knows right where we are at. Now, don't be ashamed of where you're at, but make the decision, I'm going to grow. I'm going to go on. I'm going on with God. 100%. I'm going to serve Him in my generation. I'm going to worship Him when I don't feel like worshiping. I'm going to take the promises of God into my life when I feel the pressures of this world. I'm going to worship instead of worry. I'm going to grow.
Amen.
I'm not going to be a complainer and a remainer. I'm going to be a praiser.
Right.
And I'm going to go. And I'm going to grow. Amen. Here's what Paul said. He said, "Brethren, I don't count myself to have arrived, but here's one thing I do for sure. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are ahead."
Yeah.
Say with me, I'm pressing
toward the mark
for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so the prize then is to be like Him. And that'll cause you to press. And that'll cause you to stretch. And that'll cause you to do whatever necessary to lay aside weights, to lay aside sins. Let me just quote this to you. It's a paraphrase of Philippians. "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I do keep working toward that day when I finally be all that Christ Jesus saved for me and wants me to be. I am still, and I should be focusing all my energies on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and to receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us toward heaven." God's cheering you on. How many parents we got in here? How many grandparents we got in here? You know, when you're watching your kids or you're watching your grandkids in a race, at what point in the race do you start cheering for them? In the beginning. What do you do if your kid stumbles or falls? You get all embarrassed? No, you cheer even louder. And that's the way your Father is looking at you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Guys, let's